Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
And since the Boston Marathon bombing, 10 months ago, many of the survivors have kept in touch with each other. They've created an informal but strong network that allows them to lean on each other and talk about things that few can understand.
Last December, 114 survivors, first responders, and family members boarded a cruise ship in the south of France for an all-expense-paid trip courtesy of Boston-based Vantage Deluxe World Travel.
David Wedge, a former investigative reporter for the Boston Herald, went with them and wrote about what turned into an extraordinary cruise along the Rhone River for Esquire magazine. And Dave, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You start the piece with a very powerful scene. Carlos Arredondo, people will know him. He's the subject of that iconic picture of the man in the cowboy hat who rescued Jeff Bauman, who lost both of his legs in the bombing. Carlos is with Jun Liu from China, whose daughter Ling Zi was killed in the bombing. Tell us what happened when these two men came together, why they were together.
Mr. Liu came on this trip, and him and his wife have been back in China ever since this happened. So they've been separated from the other survivors and haven't been part of these groups that you spoke about before. They don't speak any English. They had a relative with them that spoke enough to get them by. And that first night, Mr. Liu was visibly shaken and upset. He was having a really hard time, and we noticed him. He was kind of picking at his food, and he was by himself, and he looked really, really sad and stoic. And I think the magnitude of seeing all these folks who were injured in this incident where his daughter died was hitting him like a wave. Eventually, Carlos reached out to him, as Carlos does. It's just what the guy is made of. But he spoke to him not as a bombing victim or a survivor. He spoke to him as a grieving dad because Carlos lost two of his children.
Right. Carlos Arredondo lost one of his sons in the war in Iraq and then another son to suicide. So he knows about surviving this kind of loss.
That's right. And that's exactly what their interaction was. It was one grieving father speaking to another grieving father without using any sort of language. It was just shaking hands, comforting him, sitting with him. They spoke through the interpreter a little bit, and they just really bonded. And by the fourth or fifth day, Mr. and Mrs. Liu were walking around these little French wine country villages with Carlos. They were sharing some cocktails on board. And by the end of the trip, Mr. Liu was smiling, and he was having a good time. And it was nice to see.
I can imagine. Now, tell us more about Carlos Arredondo, because he plays a similar role for other people aboard this trip as well, right?
Yeah, he's really an amazing person. What you see is what you get with him. He's very genuine. He's very intense. When he speaks to you, he looks into your eyes and he listens. He's thoughtful about what he says to folks. And he's really taken Jeff Bauman under his wing. And they're inseparable. They really are. They've traveled. Carlos took him back to Costa Rica, to where Carlos is from. They've taken other trips all over the place. It's almost like Carlos has taken him on as a surrogate son, and it's just an amazing relationship to be able to witness.
Yeah. You mentioned Jeff Bauman, of course, and you remind us in this piece how many of these people are still dealing with physical wounds. Obviously, people like Jeff Bauman lost limbs, but there are also deep emotional scars. And I just want to read a tiny bit of what you wrote about Michelle LaRue. She didn't walk for 2 weeks. She was unable to shower for 36 days. She still hasn't returned to work. She doesn't sleep much. She has vivid nightmares, many of which involve her being covered with blood. She wakes up soaked in sweat. So these scars obviously are still very, very raw for a lot of these people.
They are, and I think that's what people forget. You know, we understand the stories of Carlos and Jeff and, Roseanne Stoyer and Heather Abbott and the folks who have unfortunately lost limbs. But there's dozens of others who, like Michelle, had life-altering injuries, and they're still recovering from those physical injuries. You know, Michelle still has more surgeries that she needs to go through. But the PTSD is really, really rampant among this group of folks, and there's a lot of emotional trauma. There's a lot of still grieving. There's a lot of still confusion and uncertainty, and they're uncertain of how to move forward. This trip was all about letting them all get together and talk about these things in an unfiltered sort of way. No one could say something right or wrong. It wasn't like, you're wrong about that. Mm-hmm. It was just, this is how I feel. I feel that way too.
How did it help them?
I think we mentioned in the piece about Michelle LaRue met Sabrina Della Russo. Now, Sabrina was a woman who lives in the North End. They're about the same age. They had never met before this trip. And on the first night, they met at dinner, and now they're really close friends, and they just bonded over a shared experience. And, you know, Sabrina's injuries physically aren't similar to what Michelle experienced. Michelle had some leg and arm injuries. Sabrina suffered a traumatic brain injury, and she's got more emotional stuff. But they could feel each other's apprehension of things. Mm-hmm. They understood when certain topics would come up that maybe they didn't want to discuss them, or maybe they did, you know. And it's just, I guess what it comes down to is, you know, if it sounds simple, but if you weren't there, you can't understand what these people went through.
Right. Was there a moment when you saw them start to relax and actually enjoy themselves?
Yeah, I think it happened actually a little quicker than I expected. The first night of the trip, it was a little awkward. It was apprehensive. It was tense. You know, some of the folks were really apprehensive about going on this trip because, you know, they're still grieving, a lot of them, and they're at various different stages of recovery. So I thought the tension would last for a few days, but really by the second or third day, people were really, I wouldn't say it was like, you know, celebratory atmosphere, but it was more like a large exhale. Everyone was like, you know, yeah, we're on the river, we're in France, we're away from Boston, we're away from everything that happened, and now we can just kind of regroup and think about what's going on. And I think it was just kind of like floating group therapy is the way that we describe it.
And Dave, what was it like for you to witness this? What surprised you most? What did you see that you didn't expect to see?
I think to see them up close and personal and talk to them and hear their fears and their concerns, it really brought it home to me personally of just how deep these emotional scars go. And while the city is healing and people are moving on with their lives, for these people, a lot of them, they're still stuck in what happened.
Mm. You're writing a book with Casey Sherman about the bombings. Back in July, you were able to sell the rights to turn that book into a movie even before you'd finished writing it. Some people said, too soon to do this. You know, It looks like Hollywood trying to capitalize on this tragedy. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, the cashing in thing is a non-issue to us. I mean, this is a story that needs to be told, and we were right in the middle of it. I was a reporter at the Herald, and I was out there in the lockdown for 20 hours in Watertown, right alongside all those police officers and other reporters who were out there. You know, Casey's done 6 books, and he's a Massachusetts guy, grew up in Cape Cod, and the producer, Dorothy Oferio from Red Hawk Entertainment that produced The Fighter, she lives in Watertown.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel like we'd rather have some local people be the ones to tell it and tell it authentically and properly than have some Hollywood bigwigs parachute in and just hijack the story and tell it in a Hollywood way.
Yeah. On that subject, what's the sort of biggest piece of this story that you think needs to be told that might not be told if it's not being told correctly?
Well, I feel like for us, our focus is really these stories of inspiration and heroism and survival and the human drama. I mean, that's really, for me, that's what made me want to be involved in this project. As a reporter at the Herald for 14 years, I have had many chances to write books about different cases over the year, but none that ever grabbed me by the heartstrings. And this one did. And it's because the whole city really, truly rallied around these people. And these people are just incredibly, incredibly strong folks. And so many of them have just such incredible tales of heroism from, you know, from Carlos to some of the folks I mentioned. Michelle, you know, Michelle was a horseback rider. She had part of the back of her leg blown off, and she's now relearning to use those muscles and strengthen them with the goal of getting back on a horse and ride a horse. You know, Heather Rabbit lost her leg. She was a paddleboarder. This past summer, she was able to paddleboard again with a prosthetic leg. So overcoming these injuries is really where the good stories are to me.
Well, David Wedge, thanks so much for coming in. We're very grateful.
Thank you very much.
That's Dave Wedge. He's a journalist, co-author of a forthcoming book about the bombing called Boston Strong, which will be released in the fall. You can find more information about the book and a link to his article for Esquire magazine about that cruise that the marathon bombing survivors took together at RadioBoston.org.
Stay with us. We'll talk about a court decision in Maine that could have major implications for beachgoers all along the East Coast. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.